May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 693. Lord, let me feel the unction of thy love, to cheer my heart and set my mind above. Give me a precious glimpse of thy sweet face, and make me gladly all thy will embrace. Hymn 693.
Read together from the sacred scriptures the word of God. We read from the second book of Samuel, chapter 1, and reading into chapter 2. The second book of Samuel, chapter 1, reading through the first 7 verses of chapter 2. Samuel chapter 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gibeah, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me, and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me. For anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth have testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we would come before him now in prayer. Most holy and almighty Lord God, thou merciful and gracious God, thou true and living God, thou faithful and kind God, help us to come before thee now, as we are found gathered together here in these thine earthly courts. There may be those also listening in from their homes, but may the gathering of the people be unto thee. And whether we be, as it were, here in the outer court or the home, O grant us that grace to enter into the inner court, to be found amongst those true worshippers. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, to be found such a worshipper tonight. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the rent veil of his flesh, there to behold the throne of grace and to prove a promise draws us near. There Jesus, with a smiling face, waits to answer prayer and all to plead that blood that does for sin atone. For we are a company of sinners. Each one of us have sinned against thee. We have committed iniquity. We have done wrong. We have erred. We have trespassed. O Lord, we are all sinners. Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. Oh, to be found amongst those few, those same few, in that narrow way which leadeth unto life, that little remnant according to grace. Oh, with them numbered may I be, now and in eternity. Oh, Lord, do remember us this evening. May we by faith be found sitting at the feet of Jesus. And yet too often, far too often, we're likened to Martha, cumbered about with much serving. Though we may be literally sitting quietly, our poor minds may be so taken up with various things of this life, careful and troubled, and all found with much serving, running hither and thither, a poor mind's thinking of this, thinking of that, thinking of the other. And no doubt many of the dear friends who have turned in from the busy scenes of life, and all those duties and responsibilities, those lawful matters to be attended to, yet how often we find we bring them into thy earthly courts and our poor minds are still full. O Lord, be pleased to drive out all of these thoughts from our minds. How often we also need that loving reproof. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that better part that shall not be taken from her. Lord, there do seem to be so many things in our lives whereupon we are careful and troubled, full of care, and so troubled. But all to bring them to the feet of Jesus. Oh, for grace to leave them all with thee. Do we not also read, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And oh, how troubled we are at times. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So much unbelief, so many doubts and fears. Oh, diffidence also, that great fear in coming before thee, and was so troubled. Oh, for let not your heart be troubled. Lord, remember each one gathered. Thou knowest the way that we take, the path appointed. O will guide us with the skillfulness of thy hands, and go before us each in the unknown way, all unknown to us. We know not what a day may bring forth, but all known to thee, and thou knowest the end from the beginning. And may we ever remember that he himself knew what he would do. Oh, to trust in a wise and gracious God and commit all unto thee. Lord, do remember any here in spiritual need concerning their never dying souls and a never ending eternity. Oh, do remember those in soul trouble. Oh, Lord, so troubled concerning the state of their soul, and where they shall spend eternity. Oh, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Oh, those souls who feel to be bowed down and can in no wise lift up themselves in such darkness and despair. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, to be assured of thy love and mercy. Remember me, O Lord, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Remember any who need reviving, restoring, comforting, assuring. All those who long for light, life, liberty. Oh Lord, who remember seeking souls, longing to find. Oh Lord, who remember souls so burdened with that weight of the guilt of their sin. Oh, bring them to Calvary. May that burden fall off their back, beholding Christ and him crucified. My Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer. Lord, should there be found any here yet dead in trespasses and in sins, any likened to the foolish virgins, satisfied with a lamp of profession, satisfied with a form, satisfied to come and go. Oh, call them by thy grace. Oh, Lord, show them themselves. Remember any providential need, any who are struggling, any with difficulties and problems and hard causes, those who need divine intervention, the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, the Lord to go before. Lord, remember such. So we would remember each one gathered here from the youngest to the eldest. Attend to every case, supply every need, and bless each soul. We pray for those who would be here if they could and yet have been prevented for various reasons. O Lord, do bless them, we pray, and remember those who could have come but had no desire. O touch our hearts, have mercy. Lord, do remember each and every one. O do bless this cause of truth. We do thank thee for what thou hast done, a sweet confirmation that thy Spirit remaineth here, moving upon the face of the waters, or working in the hearts of one and another. We would be thankful that one has been enabled to make that open profession of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May there yet be others constrained by the love of Christ. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What a wonderful thing to have that hope of what the Lord has done for our souls. body. Bless the church, a congregation. Remember thy servants who minister here from time to time. May they come as sent of God. Oh, remember Zion, remember the churches, remember all thy people. We pray for many in affliction, those laid aside. Oh, be pleased, where it be thy will, to grant healing, restoring, sanctifying mercies. And, oh Lord, do yet return with mercies unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Would it please thee yet to raise up, equip, and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry? Another great need there is, which only God can supply. Lord, remember thy people worldwide in all their various needs and conditions and concerns. And we would bring before thee our land and nation. Lord, at this time, have mercy. Oh, Lord, rule and overrule. Counteract the forces of evil. Oh, Lord, raise up to high office such who fear thy name, who seek to do that which is right in thy sight. But, oh, as a nation, oh, what a low place we are in. A nation on the whole that has forsaken God and turned to such evil, wicked ways, abominations. Oh, Lord, we see so much of Satan's work. We long to see thy work appear. Oh, let thy work appear, for this cause was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, come yet and destroy the works of the devil. And may it yet be seen that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hear the cries of thy people, who sigh and cry over the abominations which are done in our land, who tremble for the ark of God, who know what Israel ought to do in returning to the Lord in humility, with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, begging mercy, pardon, forgiveness. And yet we would be thankful for many blessings, many privileges yet bestowed upon us. Oh Lord, we come short in our thanksgiving, in our praise, but we would be thankful. We would count our many blessings, yet they are innumerable. We would render unto the Lord the praise that is due unto thy name, and all to be thankful. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Do hear our poor prayer, and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Do help us through this service, and following the service to take us each back to our homes in peace and safety, even with a portion for our souls. We ask in that worthy, precious, and all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask.
Hymn number 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the second book of Samuel, chapter 2 and verse 1. The second book of Samuel, chapter 2, the first verse. And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron. Two very clear, immediate answers of prayer. And all that it meant to David at such a time. The verse begins, and it came to pass after this. So there were things before this. And as David would prove throughout his whole life, God dealeth with you as with sons. God had dealings with David, and God has dealings with all of his people. If we are amongst the people of God, then God will be having dealings with us. He will call us by his grace. He will teach us our need of him, the Lord Jesus, as the one and only Saviour, and to flee to him as our only hope of salvation, to believe in him. He will also teach us, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Teaching them to strive to enter in at the strait gate. For strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. For broad is the way, wide is the gate that leadeth unto death, and many are found therein. Again, the Lord will teach his people, let us therefore labour to enter into that rest, unless any fall by that same example of unbelief. Yea, the Lord will teach his people to walk by faith and not by sight, to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life, to press on toward the mark of a prize of a high calling of God. All the Lord will teach his people their dependence upon him, their need of grace, more grace, much grace, the sufficiency of his grace. All the Lord will teach his people to hold everything here in his life with a loose hand, emptying them from vessel to vessel, lest they should settle upon their lees. Oh, many, many things the Lord will teach his people, because God have dealings with you. And those dealings at times will prove to be mysterious, hard, rugged, to our sense and reason confusing, bewildering. There are times we will think we just do not understand. The ways of the Lord are past finding out. How then can a man understand his own way? To which I feel the answer is very simple but very profound. By faith. By faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, our lack of faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We may feel it a mercy if it was said to us, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Because a little real true faith is infinitely better than no faith or a false faith. Oh, the Lord bless us with that faith to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yea, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Or to be brought to those times of nevertheless afterward. Or brought to those times when we can see that all things work together for good. Or when we can see the good hand of God. And it came to pass after this. Before this was 1 Samuel chapter 16. Young David was out in the fields of the sheep. Perhaps those very same fields where the angels appeared to those shepherds to announce the birth of Christ. And there was David tending to the sheep. And one comes from the home, perhaps a servant. And David is called to come quickly. And David must have wondered what it all meant. Perhaps the servant said, Samuel the prophet is here. What does that mean? What is this all about? Why me? And David must come. And I'm sure as soon as David walked in and that message came to Samuel, arise, anoint him, this is he. And David is called before the prophet Samuel, who anoints him with oil to be the next king over Israel. And it came to pass after this. But this was before this. Before this time. And what David had to pass through, what David had to endure. And yet all that time it was categorically clear from the prophet Samuel anointing him that the matter proceeded from the Lord. Indeed, Samuel himself, he had it so clear, he feared to go to the house of Jesse with that anointing. If Saul hear of it, he will kill me. So God told Samuel how he could go up. And then the sons of Jesse and the eldest comes in. Ah, surely this is the Lord's anointed. No. And then another brother. No. And another. No. And right down through the brothers. Are all thy sons here? Ah, there is but one. But he is but a lad with a sheep. Call him. We will not sit down until he has come. So the Lord made it so clear to Samuel. As soon as David walked into that room, arise, anoint him, this is he. And I believe it was made clear to David also. And David perhaps wondered how it would come to pass. But it did come to pass. But many years later, it didn't come to pass on the next day. It didn't come to pass in a way that perhaps David or even Samuel imagined. Indeed, at this time, Samuel had died in the time of our text. But it was of the Lord, and the Lord would bring it to pass in his time, in his way, and to his honour, and to his glory. And oh, what dealings God had with David. At first, all was quiet, life seemed to carry on as normal. Then an evil spirit from King Saul, and David being so musical with a psaltery is called for to play music before King Saul to, as it were, calm him down. And then a return back to the family. And then the Philistines come out for war against the children of Israel. And David's three elder brothers go forth to that war. And after some time, Jesse sends his youngest son David to see the welfare of the brethren, his brethren. Never imagining what would come to pass at that time. I don't need to go into detail, we just mentioned David and Goliath, and it came to pass. And David perhaps pondered in this way. Would this be the way to me becoming king? Or when the women sang his praises, that Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000, ascribing more honour and glory really to David, greater than King Saul. Well, King Saul very quickly became jealous. What an awful sin is jealousy, as cruel as a grave. What hurt, what harm, what sorrow, what grief jealousy has caused. And King Saul became very jealous of David, and that jealousy turned to anger, and it turned to hatred, and it turned to murderous thoughts. And David, from the royal court, now had to flee for his life. And really, he became a fugitive. And he went from place to place, and King Saul seemed so intent on slaying David, he saw him as such a threat. What grace was given to David? Oh, not to retaliate, not to fight back, but to try to leave matters with the Lord. And it must have been so hard, because David was proving that the ways of the Lord are past finding out, and David could not understand the ways of the Lord. As he went to Cave Adullam. And I don't think David perhaps understood it at the time, but in one sense, that was the beginnings of him becoming king. He became the captain over that motley band which came into Cave Adullam with him there. David became the captain. And in many ways, that was the beginning. It grew to about 600 men at the time of Ziklag. But how David had to flee from one place to another, with King Saul pursuing him virtually all the time. I couldn't help thinking of David in that second hymn. Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake. His life was in jeopardy, great danger, running hither and thither. And then David, who had been so strong in faith, David, who had been so enabled to trust in God and leave everything in God's hands, now he leant upon his own understanding. He thought within himself that one day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. David, where have you got that from? Who's told you that? Were you not anointed that one day you should become king? Had not Jonathan also said that one day you shall become king? So who's telling you that one day you shall fall by the hand of Saul? Do you remember the Lord Jesus also said to his disciples, why do thoughts arise in your minds? Do we not also find the same? Thoughts arise in our minds, unbelieving thoughts, doubts and fears and questions, various things which seem to come up into our minds, which come not from God, are not the word of the Lord, but the word of man, our own imaginations. And Satan also can put thoughts into our minds. One day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to flee to the land of the Philistines and stay there. Of all places to go, he sent his parents to Moab. Tradition says, not the word of God, but tradition says that the Moabites treated his parents in a dreadful way, perhaps even killing them. That's why David's anger went against the Moabites at a later time. But for David to go to the Philistines, and there almost to befriend the king, one of the kings, Achish, who gave him Ziklag, and Ziklag used to belong to, I think it was Judah, been invaded by the Philistines, who took over it, and that city he gave to David. I'm sure such a move by David grieved the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a right step. It wasn't of the Spirit, it was of the flesh. David, what are you doing there? But there he abode for some time, until he would go forth with the Philistines unto that battle. But then, being rejected by the other lords, he returned to Ziklag to find it burned with fire, and all the children and wives were taken away. A scene of desolation. And then, to make matters even worse, some of those who were with David spoke of stoning him to death, blaming him for this catastrophe. We have there that wonderful word that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had nowhere else to turn. But to his merciful and gracious God, even at that place, at that time, in that situation, we turn to the Lord. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then the Lord answered him. Again, two very clear and immediate answers that David should pursue after the Amalekites. And what a wonderful promise. He would recover all. And that is just what happened. And from that time, David began to see the hand of the Lord going out, if you will, favourably towards him. There was that Ethiopian sick who had been cast out by the Amalekites in the field at that time, and he was enabled to tell them where they were, being used of God. And then to defeat the Amalekites and to recover all according to the word of God. But then something else very, very major happened. We read of it in the previous chapter. It was an Amalekite of all people who came to David, and he came with two items. I wonder if David recognized them or even saw them at first. He came with tidings, very, very sad tidings. The Philistines had defeated the children of Israel. That war that David was going to go out with the Philistines, whether he would turn on them himself, we just cannot say. They were defeated, the children of Israel defeated. Many had been slain, among whom was King Saul and Jonathan his son. Really, David demanded to know how this man was speaking the truth. And then he presented to David something David thought he would never have, and that was the crown. The king's crown and a bracelet also. Of course, the young Amalekite had done wrong in slaying King Saul. But now what a great change for David. A major change in his life. David hadn't put his hand to anything. The Lord had done it all. The Lord has seen over it all as the Lord has seen over everything. In those years between the anointing and this momentous time. And it came to pass. Now, the introduction perhaps has been long. I do ponder there may be those this evening in your pathway and the Lord's dealings with you. And many, many things perhaps you cannot understand. Many things very deep, mysterious, crooked, so trying. You wonder why these things are. You may have perhaps comparisons with David in things that he was passing through. Of course, there's been no anointing to be a king or anything like that. But there may be some exercise, there may be some burden, there may be some promise. But you prove that the word of the Lord is tried, sorely tried. And you really wonder if it will ever come to pass. And it came to pass. because it was of God. And that which is of God will come to pass. You remember how, was it Gamaliel spoke at that time when they sought to destroy the early Christians and the apostles? If it be not of the Lord, it will not come to pass. But if it be of the Lord, it will come to pass. And those were words of truth. And this matter concerning David was of the Lord, and it must come to pass, and but nobody could prevent it coming to pass. And if your matter also is of the Lord, and this may be your exercise, your burden. Perhaps at one time you felt it was of the Lord. It seemed so clear. But since that time, things seem to have gone wrong. Things seem to have gone ill. Things have got darker. And you just cannot see, if it really was of the Lord. I believe there is one way perhaps we can ascertain if it is of the Lord or not. And it's a prayer that David prayed. A prayer that we find in the psalm. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For this is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And that word has given hope. It may be a faint hope, a weak hope, a trembling hope, hoping against hope, but still a hope. And what do you do with that hope? You bring it back to the Lord. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That word, that promise, that which was applied, that which was given. And you remember, you desire the Lord also to remember, to bring it to pass. To bring it to pass. In those intervening years, what David passed through, and not just physically, not in that literal sense, but also spiritually. That trusting in God, that waiting upon God, and that waiting for God. At this point, I do desire to set before you each. David had to wait God's time. And you and I also would have to wait God's time. Don't try to rush God. Don't try to go before God. Don't put your hand to it. Oh, what grace we need to wait. The flesh doesn't like waiting. The natural man doesn't like waiting. Or how we often desire perhaps immediate answers to our prayers. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Shall I continue? For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. He will. Oh, David, in those intervening years, he will. What cries, what petitions, what pleas, what begging, what beseeching God to appear. He will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, two things we'd avoid if we could. Adversity, we prefer prosperity, and affliction, and that could be seen in various ways, not just physical sickness, affliction. I notice here in the margin, oppression. Oh, we'd prefer ease, we'd prefer things to go well. But this is what the Lord gives, a bread of adversity and the water of affliction for a time. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. By faith, if you will, three teachers, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is a way. walk ye in it. Just what David had here. In one sense, what he'd been longing for. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. There was David yet at Ziklag. He knew that King Saul had died and Jonathan also. He had the crown. But what should he do? Should he just go up to Judah? Should he demand now what the Lord had promised by way of anointing? No. He brought it to the Lord in prayer. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. And David inquired of the Lord, whene'er we come to a stop, whene'er we know not what to do, and whene'er perhaps various ways open before us, to inquire of the Lord. You cannot do wrong in inquiring of the Lord, but be prepared to wait and to listen and to watch. That David inquired of the Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? What is thy will? I was struck in that opening hymn mentioned there of desiring the will of God. Dear friends, if our religion is real, as was David's, then we'd also pray, teach me to do thy will. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Not my will, but thine be done. And the will of God often is very different from our will. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts, and my ways and your ways. Oh, but to have that desire to know and do the will of God, oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. And David inquired of the Lord. He sought to know the mind and will of God, the way of the Lord. He would not take matters upon himself. Neither did he look to an arm of flesh. Yes, in this inquiring of the Lord, it would appear that the priest had the ephod, the Urim and Thummim, much mystery concerning those, but where one inquired of the Lord, and David really desired to inquire of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us ever to inquire of the Lord. He will answer. He will show. He will instruct. He will teach. The Lord is the living God, the prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And though David may have felt for so long he'd had many, many unanswered prayers, it did rather come to me before this time when David was struggling with one thing after another. Perhaps it was at that time when he composed Psalm 13. It could have been other times in his life when he may have composed this psalm. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. Would the Lord yet be silent? Oh, would the Lord yet hide his face? Would the Lord yet be inquired of? Remember, David was still at Ziklag, and Ziklag, he shouldn't have been there, really. grieve a Holy Spirit, and David may have keenly felt it now, but the Lord had answered him concerning the pursuing after the Amalekites and destroying them and the recovering of all. Oh, would the Lord hear him now? And David inquired of the Lord. Oh, so much of the flesh is inquiring of man. Perhaps men of wisdom, men of ability. We may feel men of discernment, but be careful when we inquire of man. Are we looking to them or are we looking to the Lord? Oh, may the Lord help us ever to inquire of the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. There is that word at the end of the Song of Solomon. I believe myself it can be seen both ways. You remember there in the Song of Solomon, you have a bridegroom and a bride both speaking at times. At times it's very clear who is speaking. At other times it's not clear. It may be one or the other. And I think of that verse, O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Ah, maybe a poor soul in distress, the companions, they hear thy voice, Lord. Cause me to hear it. But then, and I have looked it up in commentaries and other study aids, and generally speaking, it is believed that that text is more the bridegroom speaking, the Lord speaking. O thou that dwellest in the gardens, Church of God, the people of God, the companions hearken unto thy voice. You speak to them, you tell them all your sad complaints, you go to them for counsel, advice. Cause me to hear it. Cause me to hear it. And how the Lord has to deal with his people to bring them to this, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein shall he be accounted of? And oh, how we prove at times those people we may have looked to and lent upon, their remover taken away. And no longer can we seek advice or counsel from them. And how the Lord will take away all these. But he is ever there, at the throne of grace to be inquired of. Oh, I don't know, can I draw a bow to venture, for maybe one here. You've been going to man. You've been looking to man. You've been seeking advice from man. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, inquire of the Lord. Oh, look to him alone. Depend upon him. He will teach, he will show, he will instruct, he will guide. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And in a sense, that is David returning back into the land of Israel. I know Ziklag had been a city of Judah, which the Philistines had captured and had for themselves, given to David. But really, this is a returning to Judah. I thought in meditation upon Moses there at the backsides of the desert, and oh, what he had to pass through those 40 years, the Lord was preparing him as the Lord here was preparing David. And the Lord instructed Moses to return to Egypt. The men that have sought thy life are dead. They're no longer there. You return. Certainly, I will be with thee. Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Shall I return? Is it right for me to do so? Is it right in thy sight? Is it according to thy will and purposes? And here David was watching the hand of the Lord, waiting upon God to know his will. Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Lord, shall I do this? Again, those matters in our lives. Decisions to be made. Shall I? And again, there may be those of you here, you have those things before you. Shall I? You would inquire of the Lord, shall I go up? Is it of thee? Is it right? Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps somebody's had an open door. Something put before you. Something offered. It may be attractive, it may be desirous. but take it to the Lord first. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up? If memory serves me right, I remember reading that book of the late Mr. Shaw, and I think either he was offered a promotion or a better job, far better paid, so on. And he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said no. And he said no. And I think somebody called him a fool. You're foolish. This is such a great office. This is such a wonderful thing. But the Lord has said no. And he must say no. And, well, perhaps you've had a very attractive offer put before you. And you inquire of the Lord. It's not for me to say. Maybe the Lord says no. But flesh is crying out, yes. But the Lord says no. And you will need much grace also to refuse that offer, to say no. It's not of the Lord. Because if you go with the flesh, if you go, you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to end up in sorrow. But if the Lord says yes, it's a different matter. If the Lord says yes, then go. Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. He had the divine approbation. He had the Lord's blessing. The Lord said, go up. Now he must go. No two ways about it. He heard the Lord say, go up. And whatever reception there may or may not be, however the people that were with him may also speak of this, he knew it was of the Lord, and that's all what mattered. And the Lord said unto him, go up. It just come to my mind, perhaps something else has opened up before you. And rather than being attractive to the flesh, it's quite the opposite. It's something you rather fear. How can I go? It's such a great thing. It's such a difficult thing. Or it may, according to your sense of reason, be full of problems and difficulties and many hard things, and you don't really want to go. But again, you need grace now to inquire of the Lord. Although the flesh is saying no, what would the Lord say? And the Lord may say, go up. Dear Moses, he really didn't want to go back to Egypt. I believe he was quite content as a shepherd. Perhaps life was quiet, easy. Quite content to stay there for the rest of his life. But at that burning bush, the Lord said, go. And Moses found every excuse he could think of not to go. But the Lord said, go. And he had to go. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Dear friends, what grace we need at times to deny self. Ah, it is vast our self and pride must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. Go up. The Lord said unto him, go up. And then, of course, any of the cities of Judah, and Judah is quite a large area of a tribe. And David said, whither shall I go up? That is, what place, what city, what town, what area? Again, the Lord answered him immediately unto Hebron. That's where the Lord would have him to go. That would be the next step. As yet, Jerusalem was held by the Jebusites. David would be at Hebron about 7.5 years before they defeated the Jebusites, and Jerusalem became the city of David, where eventually David settled. And where, after his death, of course, a temple was built. But first, unto Hebron. So again, a very clear answer a prayer where he was to go. When this text really first laid upon me, I thought, how wonderful to have two very clear, precise, immediate answers of prayer, because really they're very seldom, aren't they? How often we have to go again 7 times. How often the Lord seems to be silent. And our life still carries on. David's life carried on. And yes, he had to flee from one place to another. And yes, he did wrong in going to Ziklag. And we, as we may wait upon the Lord in certain matters, our lives still carry on. Things still happen in our lives, daily lives, and various changes. But oh, how we long to see such clear answers of prayer. Oh, to know the mind and will of God, to be found in that right way under the Lord's smile, blessing and approbation. I believe, you see, here is the tender fear of God. It's that bar, that preventive bar to all that is wrong. But also that unctuous, that bright light to all that is right. And so with a tender fear of God in our hearts, we desire to know the mind and will of God, to walk humbly before him. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they were led by that pillar, cloudy by day, fiery by night. And at times that pillar moved. And when that pillar moved, they also were to move in the same way as that pillar. It would be their guide. At whatever time, whatever way, for whatever journey they must go. But then there would be times when that pillar would stay, it would stop. And they also were to stay in that place. That was the mind and will of God. Man had no control over that pillar. Now, as David also proved that God was in control, and may you and I also prove that God is in control of our lives, of our pathways. Dear friends, if we're found amongst the people of God, we haven't been promised an easy pathway. And David wasn't promised an easy pathway. He didn't have an easy pathway. Even as king over Israel, he didn't have an easy pathway. No child of God has an easy pathway. It is through much tribulation. But those tribulations will be sanctified to keep us close to the Lord, watching his hand, discerning his mind and will, waiting upon him, waiting for him, trusting in him, committing all unto him, yea, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Just briefly, finally, David had to wait for this time. And when it came, the Lord made it so clear, so plain. Perhaps for some in your path, things are not clear, things are not plain. But you would wait upon the Lord, longing that he would yet appear and make it clear and plain to you. And when things are made clear and plain by the Lord, we know it is of the Lord. I was only speaking to a friend very recently, and I believe it to be true that the clearer the Lord makes a certain matter, the more perhaps it may be tried. Oh, sometimes things are not clear. Things are very dark, deep, mysterious. At times we're forced into situations and we just have to venture. But then we prove the Lord's gracious help, and we prove it is of the Lord. When Jesus constrained his disciples into the ship, the fact that he constrained them, they were reluctant, they were fearful, they'd rather not go. But he constrained them into the ship, and they went. And though it became dark, and though the wind was contrary, and though they were labouring and toiling and rowing, they knew that they were in the right place, going the right way, because they knew the Lord Jesus had sent them across. And here David, he knew he would go to the cities of Judah. He knew that he must go to Hebron. That's where the Lord would have him to be. And so also, when the Lord makes it plain, and we venture to know it is of the Lord, and then we can return to the Lord. And this is so important at times of trouble and distress and opposition. But thou saidst, as a prayer of Jacob, when returning back to his father, and Esau was coming out to meet him with 400 men, and Jacob returned to the Lord, and thou saidst, O Lord, thou saidst. Oh, what confidence there of the Lord's help and the Lord's appearing in every time of need. Oh, if we haven't got a thou saidst, Lord, where are we? Well, may the Lord be very merciful. May the Lord yet appear for those here who long for the Lord to appear. Oh, to make it plain. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach next Lord's Day, Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week, and on Saturday afternoon next week, there will, God willing, be a prayer meeting for the nation and the churches. Our closing hymn is 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Thank you.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.